is Believe in Buckeyes. This show is brought to you by Bet Online. Chim, hit them with that.
Bet Online is your number one source for the NBA Finals and Stanley Cup Finals this season. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to the online casino and get in on the game, a game of blackjack or poker, or unwind on one of your 150 slot games. Head to the website today, get in on the action. Use the promo code BLEED for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, the game starts here.
And if you're having any issues with gambling, always feel free to reach out to 1-800-GAMBLER. They're 24/7 to help you out with anything you may need in that category. But yes, this is Believe in Buckeyes. I'm Brian Browning with All American quarterback Chindi Chekwa. Hey, man, it's like officially summer, man. It's June. It's like, yeah. It's June, man. How you feeling? I mean, I know you're a down south guy. In Ohio, summers are a tad bit different. How you feeling, man? Is it too cold? I mean, it was like 60 the other day. Like,
Ohio doesn't know what it wants to be. You know, summers. Winters would have been. I'm gonna say this. Winters have been relatively mild last couple years.
Yeah.
But springs and summers, you know, you get a couple hot days, a couple medium days. But overall, I'm not gonna complain. I think the weather has been pretty fair, and I actually like it to be a little bit mild. I don't like it to be too hot. So I think the weather's been good. Yeah. And I mean, summer's here, which means we're getting closer and closer to football season. So
yeah, that's right. Yeah, so 11 Warriors dropped the depth chart. Obviously, now that spring obviously has been done for a few months now, but now the transfer window has closed, and so it looks like your roster is pretty much set going into fall. And 11 Warriors went ahead and dropped the depth chart here, and it went about three deep. And you know, sometimes when you're going three deep in every position, you're gonna start adding some guys that might not necessarily really be in the mix. But looking at that depth chart, Chum, is it anywhere that you think, well, I know a couple spots we know some competition, but what are your thoughts about the depth chart and how they have kind of have guys kind of lined up going into the summer?
Yeah, I mean, I think we should add that it's kind of a projected depth chart. I think one of the interesting things, and I think James Laurinaitis, I saw something came out recently of somebody asking about some of the young linebackers. Mm-hmm. I think that linebacker position is an interesting one because it's one where there's a lot of depth in terms of talent, a lot of talent depth, but also a lot of youth. Like Sonny Styles, this would be his first year playing linebacker. CJ Hicks, this would be his first year potentially getting any significant time at the position. You got another guy, Gabe Powers, who hasn't played a ton at the, played a ton in real games. Cody Simon is the one kind of veteran there. And Arvo Reese, who every time I mention him, man, I still see this huge player in the middle of the field, man. He's a big dude.
Tall blooder. Yeah. Right.
Glenville guy. guy who has a lot of talent. So that position is one to watch. I think they got a great coach in his first year as an official coach in James Laurinaitis. They asked him some questions about some of the young linebackers. He mentioned C.J. Hicks is at a place now, and without quoting him directly, he pretty much seemed like he was saying he understands the game, he understands the position, he has a good feel for the position now, and he's going to be able to help the team. He also mentioned Sonny Styles and his ability to transition from safety to linebacker. So I'm interested in how they use those guys because you got a lot of guys who can play, but you really only have two positions that will linebacker, because a lot of the time it's going to be in a nickel package. You're going to have a guy like Jordan Hancock on the field. So I'm interested in, do they go with three linebackers at times and put Sonny Styles kind of at that Sam where he can drop in coverage? Or do they really just go with two linebackers? And if they do, you know, or do they rotate these guys? Or is it going to be the typical Jim Knowles two linebackers play every game, all game? Some of the other guys who are young, talented players. But even if you're young and you're talented, you need to get out there and continue to gain experience to continue to grow your game. So I'm that's one of those positions that I think I watch closely. If it's me, I'm saying I think CJ Hicks gets the nod. I think Cody Simon gets the nod. And I think Sonny Styles is used a lot in terms of his position flexibility But it's like, man, a guy like Arvid Reese out there, man, I feel like you got to use these guys in some capacity.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's just really the problem, the issue, like when you come to a big school like Ohio State, right? I mean, you just have, sometimes you just get in these situations where it's just so much talent at the same position. It's kind of just like, you know, who knows, right? Because obviously it all has to play out. But essentially, it's linebackers and defense. Usually that starter, whoever gets that start, is going to get the vast majority of the snaps. And that's really just how it goes. You know, barring injury, obviously, and no one could predict it, no one, you know, could say when it happens. Barring injury, that's what you expect to see. Now, we've seen Cody Simon over the years kind of playing a little bit more and more for Chambers and rotating in there for Eichenberg once he kind of start having injuries. Yeah. But you imagine, you know, even in spring practice, he was the one practicing with the radio in his helmet. Right, so it's like, you know, he almost can't leave the field when you kind of start looking at it in that matter. And so, you know, it'd be interesting. I mean, I know James Laurinaitis kind of, you know, spoke highly about Sonny Styles, but when it really comes down to it, he only been playing linebacker for literally 15 practices, right? I mean, it's not like, you know, he's a linebacker from, you know, the high school level. No, he's a safety who's kind of now starting to creep a little bit closer to the line of scrimmage. So can he make that judgment that fast? We will see. Obviously, Sonny Styles, him being a contributor to this defense as he was last year, you imagine you have to find a spot for him, right? It just wouldn't. It might cause maybe even friction in the locker room to see a guy like that not playing. So you imagine they have to kind of work in and figure it out. But a guy like C.J. Hicks, right? I mean, I believe it's going into his third season at Ohio State. And now, you know, he's starting to kind of get the grasp and understand things. And I want to say more or less mature into that position. And that's good to see. I mean, that's what coaching is about, right? I mean, I know he's a very highly a really rated high guy coming out of high school, and that's fine. But, you know, a lot of times those guys get a lot of added pressure due to, you know, what was going on in high school. It was really due to their measurables and what type of athlete they are. But sometimes it takes a little time to actually understand what is needed to kind of perform at the higher level. So I'm glad that CJ didn't really, I guess, fall into the hype and kind of start to feel too big for himself and do something like jump in the portal and lead the program. Stuck with it, kept learning, kept developing, and now it looks like this season we'll actually get to see him out there performing on Saturday. So,
I hate, though, like something that I hate is wasted talent. You know what I'm saying? And when I say wasted talent, I mean a guy who's ready to go, who could play, and just can't get on the field. Like, that's just me personally. Like, obviously, I want Ohio State to win game. That's a priority. Yeah. But man, when you have, I think back to Baron Browning.
Yeah.
Baron Browning played the linebacker position. He wasn't a starter necessarily. He played in spots. And every time he stepped on the field, man, he just flashed across the screen. And I mean, I don't know what the word was out on him. I don't know if it was that he couldn't grasp the position as well as some of the other guys. Who knows? But what I do know is when he stepped foot on the football field, and the ball was moving, he was going to get that ball. So if you have that level of talent, you know, some of these guys it's gonna shake out. Some guys will play. Some guys may play next year or more, et cetera, whatever. But to be able to maximize the talent on the roster at these different positions, and the thing about defense, man, there's flexibility on defense where you don't have to pigeonhole a guy to a specific position. You see what Baron Browning has been able to do in the NFL, playing the defensive end, being more of a speed-type rusher. I feel like, you know, you have some of those body types, some of those explosive-type players on the roster at linebacker here at Ohio State. So my hope is that they make the most of those guys who are out there. Because the other thing about wasted talent is some of these guys, when you just don't see the field, you just don't continue to progress at the same rate as others. And you don't continue to develop as you should. Yeah. So I'm just hoping that these guys play. I know fans have been asking for C.J. Hicks for many years. This is his time. But there's some other guys on their roster, man, that just have the talent. To me, Sonny Styles even at a safety position last year, he looked like a linebacker to me. So I don't think the transition should be that difficult. But yeah, just a wealth of talent, and I'm hoping to see it play out, especially with an expanded season, potentially with the new playoff.
Yeah, I mean, and the biggest thing, I guess, regarding this depth, obviously it's a lot of competition on here, right? I mean, you got quarterback competition. I mean, they kind of, start depending on wide receivers and spots. Obviously, there's competition there, competition at the tight end position. But I guess one that just kind of stood out to me is at the right guard position, where we have competition. Essentially, I mean, from Ohio State, it's like, oh, it could be many of people at the right guard position. It could be Tegra. It could be our starting center from last year, Carson Hensman. It could be our starting right tackle from last year, Josh Fryer. It could be Luke Montgomery, who was a talented freshman who performed really well for us. So right now, I mean, like I say, this is just a predicted depth chart. I think I said it after watching the bowl, the spring practice game. It should be Carson Hensman. I'm like, that's the one role we said we was going to stop the competition. Now I say you plug Carson there. He has the experience of playing. Obviously, we have a center move come in from the transfer portal. So we let Seth play the center, pick Carson at guard. We stop the competition. We roll with that five and go from there, man. So
yeah, that's you have guys like Tegra who started at right tackle, moved in. So those guys could be the backup. So if a guy gets hurt, you know, you could play multiple positions. So, I mean, I agree. I think that's it. Set the offensive line.
Set it.
Let them continue to grow and mesh and be that that foundation that we need going through the season.
Yeah, that's for sure. So, yeah, so also this week, obviously a couple weeks ago, we've been ranking teams, right? We've been kind of talking about Big Ten. We got the new guys joining the conference. A couple weeks ago, we started off with defense to get top five defenses. Last week, we had a special guest, so we kind of switched it up a little bit. But this week, we want to kind of finish that off and just talk about the office. So we wanted to kind of go through and just rate the top five offices that, in our opinion, that's in the Big Ten. We're going to do this the opposite order because we kind of agree a lot here, which is not always the case. But for this one here, we kind of agree. So starting off at number one spot, we gave it to, you might have guessed it, the Buckeyes, Ohio State, as the number one offense in the Big Ten. Chimp, I know you was you might have been a little bit more stronger on that than I was, but would you just go ahead, tell the people what you're thinking when you think of Ohio State offense in this 24th season and why they should be number one in the conference and definitely competing to be number one in the nation.
Yeah, I don't think Ohio State has a real or true weakness at the starters, right? So, like, I go across position to position. We talked about the linebacker position. That may be one of the positions where you get the most, the least amount of experience. And then, safety, there may be some challenges with depth, but in terms of the guys who are starting, tons of experience, tons of high-level talent, high-level play, cornerback across the board. But specifically for offense, two running backs that might be the two best running backs in college football. Receivers. And now there is some freshness at receiver a little bit with, some guys leaving. But I think this crop of receivers collectively is even more talented than what we had last year. Which to me is saying a lot for Ohio State.
Who lost to Marvin Harrison Jr. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And then, I mean, tight ends, we lost a big guy in Kay Stover. But I think even, and you may not agree with this, to me, at quarterback, you look across the Big Ten, probably one of the most experienced and one of the better quarterbacks going into the season, in my opinion. I think Will Howard ends up getting the nod. I think there's a reason why they brought him here from Kansas State. He's played a lot of football, and him being able to run this offense with the level of talent that exists. And then it's not just the players. Bringing in Chip Kelly, to me, was a key add, just in creating that solid offensive coordinator, aligned Ryan Day to step back and really be kind of that CEO. I don't think it's that close in terms of who's top. Maybe I don't want to get too carried away. I don't want to get too carried away with the bias. Oregon was a top five offense probably in every category last year. So I'm not going to say it's not close. But outside of Oregon, I don't think it's really close with anybody else in the Big Ten.
Yeah, I got Ohio State number one. I mean, really, I could just piggyback anything you said, check all those boxes. I was a little tough on Chip on the first hire. Then I had to, you know, dig into it. Like, oh, no, this guy's really running the ball. And we know Coach Day and his offense, he'll be able to kind of stretch it and hit some shots down the field. So we just know it's going to take place, right? But we talked a lot about Will Howard. You did not bring up Devin Burnaboles Brown, and who is also competing for that starting role spot. And obviously, it would work out how it work out. But I guess I'm still under the impression, and I have to keep bringing it up, that the starting quarterback position for Ohio State, as in any of these roles, he has to be in the mix because, in my opinion, he's been here now for going on his third season. He's been the right thing. He did what he could. He lost the battle last year. Stuck around. He's there. He has a lot of experience around Ohio State. Obviously, Will Howard has the experience of actually playing on Saturdays. But to me, it has to play out in practice. If Will Howard's the guy, he's going to have to beat him out in practice for him to kind of get that spot. Because if not, as we know in the spring, a lot of things kind of started off with Devin Brown.
Yeah, but, I disagree. I don't think he has to beat him out in practice, honestly.
Yeah, I mean. That's a whole other thing, man. Don't dive into it that much.
But
man.
I just want to be clear. I don't want to dismiss anybody as a, you know, from a competition standpoint. I think Devin Brown can compete for the opportunity. I think it's one of those things where he's competing for second place initially, and then based on how things start off, he could, you know, if things aren't going as smoothly as, you know, coaches want and they trust Devin Brown to, you know, take the reins, I think that opportunity presents itself. However,
yeah.
Will Howard is.
But that right wasn't there. What I was going with this whole thing. What I was going with this whole thing, Chim, is that Ohio State is the number one offense in the Big Ten. I say behind them is number two, Oregon, which you agree. And I have to say the only argument here for Oregon, if you wanted to, like, maybe jump them over Ohio State, is the quarterback play. Obviously, they had a transfer. And Dylan Gabriel come over from Oklahoma over to Oregon. They got Dante Moore, a very talented young player on the roster as well. You imagine that Gabriel gets to start. But if you ask me who was the better quarterback last year in college football, I will probably give it to Dylan Gabriel over the performance we got from Will Howard. But that's just the quarterback position. That's just the quarterback position. Like I said, Ohio State is number one. But number two, I have Oregon there, just knowing basically what they could do, the talent they have brought in throughout the transfer portal. And you imagine that they'll be able to kind of set themselves up to be pretty successful on the offensive end of the ball. Like we say, you know, we expect them to be one of the top teams in the country. Defensive, offensively, they should be able to compete with anything. Right.
Yeah, I mean, Oregon hasn't missed a beat. From a transfer portal standpoint, Ohio State did great in the transfer portal. But I feel like Oregon, I mean, they got two starting quarterbacks, a veteran and a young guy. And I don't know who was already on the roster at quarterback, but I feel bad for them, right? It's hard to anticipate two guys coming in. And last year, Oregon, in terms of offensive stats, I think they were top five in pretty much all the stats that mean anything. So, yeah, they're gonna be at the top. And statistically, they may actually be better than Ohio State, like, in terms of stats. I just think Ohio State overall would probably be the most talented offense.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we all know stats could be misleading, right? Yeah. I mean, sometimes, especially when you're looking at the collegiate level, right? I mean, your stats may come against a team in a conference that's not the Big Ten, where another team's, you know, stats are coming against this different competition, right? So, and it kind of just kind of wrinkles out a little bit differently But I think that's a solid spot for Oregon. We expect them. They've been good. We expect them to continue to do that. There'd be nothing that kind of says anything different. At that three spot, I think, once again, we both agree that we pit USC there, right? We pit number three, USC. Just knowing, you know, who the coach is. if there's anything he's going to do, he's going to pit out a stacked offense. Obviously, they lost the number one draft pick to the, you know, going to the NFL, the Bears. But, you know, we saw the other guy, Miller Moss here, play in a bowl game. And I don't think he's missing much. I mean, he went out there and lit him up, right?
Yeah. I mean, all Lincoln Riley does is create first round quarterbacks, Heisman Trophy winner. So I expect, I don't necessarily expect him to create another Heisman Trophy winner this year, but I don't put it past them either. Like, yeah. I think, you know, they're gonna play offense. If they do anything this year, they are going to play offense. They're almost the opposite of Iowa, where it's like they haven't been interested in defense, but they're gonna perform well on offense. So they may actually be in the mix. They may be closer to Oregon, Ohio State, depending on how that quarterback continues to develop in terms of offensive play. And the real question for USC is really just defense.
As always, the defense, yeah. So at the fourth spot, we both pit Penn State there. Obviously, we know Penn State has he just had his first season, but he has some talent at quarterback with Drew Aehler. And Penn State has never had a tough time finding a way to run the ball. So we put Penn State at that fourth spot. What is your thought about James Franklin's offense now?
Yeah.
You know, running under Drew and what they could be possibly capable of with another year under his belt.
Yeah, Penn State is the good college football team that I always talk bad about. The Cincinnati Bengals when they had what was the coach?
Marvin Lewis.
Like, they're just gonna be good, but they're never gonna be great. And that's what it looks like with the quarterback. A really good quarterback, an experienced guy. You expect him to take a jump this year. Like, this is the year where you expect him to take a jump. But Penn State, like, they oddly didn't have explosive wide receivers last year. So for them to really improve, and I think it's Ohio State, Oregon, USC, and I think there's a little bit of gap in terms of offense between USC and Penn State, unless they have a receiver that emerges. They have one receiver who was transferred from Ohio State to go to Penn State. Mm-hmm. I don't think it makes a difference. I don't think that's the difference. I think one of their young guys that they had on the roster last year needs to step up and emerge. I think they had some talent there, but it just was weird. They just didn't have that explosive receiver that you always had at Penn State. So I think that's going to be the difference. I think that's going to be the difference. Do they have a receiver that's explosive? And does that quarterback throw the ball downfield? He just didn't throw the ball downfield last year. Uh-huh. So we'll see. I mean, the teams are better than they're going to be explosive. But it's really against those top teams that we, you know, check to see what their offense really is going to be.
Yeah, and that was, well, obviously it was Julian Fleming played for Ohio State. I mean, he played quite a bit at his time here, and, you know, he was good in spots. Really, once again, he was another guy that was rated really high coming out of high school with a lot of hopes. And I ain't going to say, you know, it's not like he didn't live up to it, right? It's just, you know, like I say, he was good in spots. And for his last year of college football, he's from Pennsylvania. He's going to play at Penn State. And once again, he's not a take the roof off the defense type of guy, but in possessions, he's definitely could, you know, help you out. Strong guy, strong hands that can catch the ball and move the chain. So it'd be, you know, interesting to see there. Now we did things in opposite order because we kind of disagree about this five spot. For myself, I put at the five spot. I put Washington in, the Washington Huskies. I know they're new to the conference, and you know they. A lot of change, right? Lost a coach, lost a lot of really good players. But they bring in Will Rogers, who was a 3-year starter at Mississippi State. They bring him in at the quarterback position. So he has a ton of experience there. They bring in the coach out of Arizona, who's from last year, had a top 20 offense. Jed Fish brings him in from Arizona. And so I just think that, you know, they'll figure out. Obviously, they had a lot of transfers from Arizona. Follow him to Washington. Washington has been a solid program over the last handful of years, you know, with coaches changes and things of that nature, because so far Washington kind of fit in that spot, right? But I just feel like they'll be kind of come in, figure it out. Obviously, he has a program or offense that he wants to run. Jeff Fish does. And so far, it has tended to be successful. With another experienced quarterback, I believe he'll be able to kind of continue to do that. And Washington is another team that's never really been afraid to run the ball and kind of hurt you there as well. Jim, who do you have in your fifth spot?
I got that team up north. I got Michigan.
Come on, man.
I mean, Washington, you talk about a lot of change. I mean, like, they may be experiencing some of the most change in college football. New coach. A bunch of transfers. A lot of them coming with the coach from Arizona. So, I mean, I guess there's some familiarity.
Yeah, man. The guys know the playbook already.
Right. New conference. Completely new conference. new quarterback. And they're going to try to run the same approach, get a veteran quarterback somewhere else and work with Michael Penix. I don't really foresee that they're able to reach the heights or get close to what they were able to do the year before, because it's a new coach. And I think it's just too much change. I'm going with
one question for you. Is the field still 100 yards?
I think they expanded that field.
Maybe a couple inches. The game is the game.
I think it's like one. It may feel longer than 100 yards for Washington. I would say that. I think the Wolverines, with the consistency, even though they lost their coach, but they still got a guy who was an offensive coordinator, who's going to be the head coach. I know they're going to have a new quarterback, and then looking at the spring game, I don't know if they really figured out who that guy is truly going to be. But I think just their running attack alone puts them in the spot to be that fifth best offense in the Big Ten. Again, it's the Big Ten, right? The defense, taking care of the football, not turning it over, sound football. Michigan embodies that, and I think they do enough just running the ball to field a pretty good offense. And I think Washington, you know, they may have their explosive games. But I think when they play those big teams, I just don't foresee them being able to have a consistent offense similar to what they did the year before. But I don't know.
Yeah, man. I just don't agree. I put them on that list on the defense side of things. They're not about to keep getting put on lists from me. So, man, that's enough. You know, they gave them a check on defense and offensively. They don't have a quarterback.
Your bias is blind.
They lost their coach. I mean, last year they really was, you know, they had a little assistance in calling plays. You know, that they kind of always knew which ones to call at the right time. You know what I'm leading at. So, yeah, they won't have that this year. And no, things will look definitely different in Ann Arbor when it comes to on the offensive side of the ball. But, yeah, man, before we wrap up the show here, just wanted to shout out that now in the summer, a lot of our top recruits, they're taking their official visits here over the month of June. So we'll continue to have some news there. We expect some commitments, right? Most guys commit by the end of the summer. So once we kind of have things to firm, we'll be sharing out here on our show as well. As always, please subscribe to us on YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get podcasts from. We are there. Please hit that subscribe button so when the season comes, we can start going live. We can have some real interaction because that's what we really want to gear up to. Jim, man, fantastic show. Thanks for joining us today.
Tell us about that hat you got on there.
Oh, yeah. I forgot, man. I got my melon hat on here, man. It's a fantastic hat for the summer. As you can see in the camera, if you're watching on YouTube, it's very breathable. This is a nice hat. I mean, this is the perfect hat for the summer. It cannot get too hot for this hat here. You won't sweat through it. It's just a fantastic look. Always feel free to check them out when you have an opportunity. If you want to look good in any situation.
Yep. Even if you got good hair like me, man, you can still.
You can still
throw a hat on. It's spacey.
Yeah, right, man. Sometimes that sun is beating, man. Right. Summer's here. Yeah, but that's our show for today. As always, we want to end all our shows with an OH.
Ayo.
Go Bucks. We'll catch you guys here soon.
Go Bucks.